This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Good morning, Kia ora, and welcome to Free Left Turn here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Kia ora, Fred.
Good morning. Oh,
good morning, guys. How's it going?
Not too bad.
Beautiful day out there.
Good.
Yeah.
Two more days,
yes.
And I can come out from underneath my rug.
And I can rejoin the human race.
Turn on the television
about hearing about punching above our weight, you know. So
punching up our weight.
Yeah, so anyway, New Zealand's covered itself in glory and we're punching above our weight and it's just amazing. But as I say, the interesting thing about the Olympics, and good on the individual athletes that have done it, but they are professional.
Yeah.
And I didn't know they get, if you get a gold medal, you get 60 grand from us, the taxpayers. And if you
We're the people.
And if you get a bronze or silver, you get 55,000. So there's a little bit of equalitarianism in the second and third medal.
Mm.
But so remember, this is a professional sport. That's what they do for a living. And so, but what I was concerned, what raised my eyebrows a bit, we've got this thing called New Zealand House over at Paris.
Yeah.
And it's basically an open invitation for people to come in and sample New Zealand's hospitality.
Is this the New Zealand consulate, is it?
I'm not sure. No, I don't know if it's at the consulate or it's in an area designed for promotion.
Diplomats.
Yeah, but anyway, we are feeding and drinking the members of the
Club.
Smugsville from around the world, apparently.
Again at taxpayers' expense.
Let me guess. Yes, you're right. Yeah, so, you know, and okay, they sell it as, well, this is promoting New Zealand and all that. And there may be some truth in that.
But it seems to be the same people seem to benefit from this largesse.
Yeah, so, but we're just, it's not just New Zealand Smugsville people
enjoying it. International Smugsville.
International Smugsville people can enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, in America, the Yank, we do it for free. And how I picked it up, that there was a Radio New Zealand talking about it. They've got their people over there as well in Paris.
Yeah.
And you could hear the wine, people drinking and dropping wine glasses, etc.
Cackling loudly and raucous behaviour.
Well, I hope those same people remember when they come back to New Zealand, if they're New Zealanders, that they have a little bit of empathy for the people who don't get that largesse of food and booze.
I want a strange look on my face. Yeah.
Appreciate what
they have.
Bit of unfortunately, I don't think we could be waiting a long time.
Yeah, so anyway, so we've got two more days, then they'll have the closing.
There'll be analysis.
And then we have the people coming back and we're doing the welcoming thing at the airport. So by about midweek I can start.
We can be joining the human race.
Yeah.
I'm proud that I've not followed any of it.
I've been hoping that the Chinese will just take the smile off the Americans, but no, I think the Yanks are going to put them at the post.
Yes, unfortunately, But then you forgot to mention that morphs into the Paralympics.
So, and that's what I mean. This would be a big hurtful to the Yanks if the Chinese had to pip them, because the Americans are basically, since the Cold War, the Russians haven't been in the game. America's had the limelight, has been number one, not just in being military power to the world and leader of the world, they've been number one in the sports, of course, in the Olympics.
So. Yeah, in the egotistical world.
Yeah, and others. Yeah, nut jobs, what else we call narcissists.
Extremists.
Yeah, exceptionalism. Yeah. Should we go on? So anyway, Olympics, but to the individual, to the athletes, you know, at the end of the day, they are professionals. And I say I still question how much we spend on them, but that's how it is.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll do the almanac before we go carry any further. Okay. 1956.
Right.
Working with the Union Francois Nord African, I think that's how it's saying, African terrorist group, André Artiari, a former French military intelligence officer, planted a bomb in the Casbah of Algiers, which exploded, killing 73 people. The attack was part of a brutal counterinsurgency campaign waged by France against the Algerian independence movement.
Yeah. It was a lot of dirty. It was a very dirty war. That really was nasty.
Yeah. There was an old movie with the actor Anthony Quinn.
Oh yeah,
and I think he was supposed to be a French military person.
Mm-hmm.
But what I remember from there was a particular scene where the bomb that was planted was an open like a cigarette box or something. Somebody opened it, and then they left.
Kaboom!
Yeah, and that was part of that. I think because in 1960 they claimed the independence, didn't they?
65, independence 65, 66, all right. But it was a dirty war, though.
It was quite very brutal.
But isn't there a large Algerian population in France?
Aye.
Yeah. And there's also expats who lived in Algiers who came back to France, and initially they were welcomed with open arms, and then when they realised how many were coming back, they became sort of second-class citizens.
Colonisation is biting them back.
Aftermath of Empire.
2005, the Gate Gourmet dispute began in London. British Airways had outsourced its airline meal production to Gate Gourmet, staffing primarily by Asian women workers. The company cut wages and working conditions worsened. Planning on further undermining working conditions, the company brought in hundreds of temporary agency workers to do the work.
Scabs.
Good interjection. Yeah.
Blacklegs.
Yeah. 10 out of 10 for that interjection.
If you forgive the B word.
To do the work of the permanent employees. Seeing agency workers in their usual posts, the workers assembled in their canteen to discuss and protest against what was happening. Gate Gourmet responded by firing more than 700 of the workers. In a gesture of solidarity unusual in these times, British Airways baggage handlers walked out on a wildcat sympathy strike, shutting Heathrow Airport completely for 48 hours, but their union, the Transport and General Workers Union, ordered them back to work. Sounds like there was a little bit of...
Backroom dealing.
Non-Vaseline. Although the fired workers set up picket lines, the TGWU... officials reached an agreement with bosses for some of the workers to be reinstated with terms and working conditions that were worse than those the workers had opposed in the first
place. Good grief.
Many of the workers fought on until April of the following year, but the union refused to make their actions official and they were defeated. Sounds like the union kind of did a
backroom deal.
Well, quite life.
If the TUC wasn't behind you, you didn't have much hope of
TUC.
Trade Union Council.
That was a Transport and General Workers Union.
That was a powerful union.
Well, and they used to have. There used to be, and we still sort of have it, but not the same. But the unions used to understand that for the movement to stay strong, have to support each other.
Yeah.
And there were some times where the unions were doing stuff that you think that's over the top. Mm. But they still acted collectively because they said the moment you don't do that,
you're out. Pick you off one by one.
And look now, look how many people are in unions in New Zealand. 13% or something. Mm. The only unions that are still strong
would be the police, teachers.
Police, teachers and nurses.
Doctors union.
Well, don't they call them clubs? I mean, cults.
Associations.
What do they used to call it in England? They used to have. What do they used to call the tradespeople in the early times?
Called the tradespeople.
Yeah,
there was some sort of affiliation, weren't they?
Yeah, they had a name for them.
Blue collar. Blue collar.
No, they were not quite. They were caught. I'll bring it for next week. Yeah. They were caught. You know, if you were part of a, you're professionals or whatever, you had a. You had a guild. People had a skill.
War merchants. They were and it was all about a collective bargaining.
I don't think the coal miners had a guild.
No, they had a union.
They were just
the union. Yeah, they were a union,
That was a bit of the old UK class, you know, English class system.
Okay, what you got there, mate?
Well, we were talking before we came in here, but just had the Maori ward elections, and I was trying to find out what the turnout was eventually, because I think it was last week it was 5.4.
Well, yeah, you mentioned 5.4.
And you were saying today
it was about 11.4, I think the turnout was.
Yeah, so Maria Te Okaha Huata, is that how you pronounce
Huata,
it?
Huata.
She got in with it. By just under 400 votes. I'm not so sure about it reads, whether she got with a 400 majority or she only got in with 400.
I think she got in with 700 and she
And then she had a majority of 400. It doesn't read very well, that paragraph.
The article. Okay. Isn't that sad, though?
And she goes on to say that those who may oppose Maori wards within our council at the moment, I want to find out why. We know why. Once I know why, then we can see what is at the root of it. And we know what that is, and then just peel away from there. It's not an us and them. She's been quite considered. It's not an us and them. It's an us game. No,
full stop. Yeah,
inclusive. But I'm following it. Was the Palmerston North?
Can we just stay on that one?
Yeah.
What I find we all should be sad about it because the Māori wards. You know, we've got the government trying to push out, have electorate votes, etc. Referendums on Māori wards. And this was the chance for Māori to show by the participation
we want
them. Yeah. Unfortunately, getting a 11% turnout just gives food for the opposition.
And it's a valid argument because they say, well, if that's their response, why are we wasting our time and money?
And this is 11% of the of Māori that who are registered.
In the city.
How many Māori aren't registered who are eligible to be registered?
I'd hate to think.
So you may be talking 5% of adult Māori's voted. It could be that poor.
That could be it.
And that just hands the argument to the naysayers, to the race card brigade. Yeah.
And they've got an argument because...
How can you resist that? You can say, well, actually, So 700 votes gets you a seat on council.
Yeah.
And it's still democracy, but it's not helping the cause.
Well, it's democracy, but it's been undermined, though, eh?
Democracy in action.
And see, Palmerston North voted to keep the Te Puao, is that how you pronounce it? Te Pua Māori Ward?
Yeah.
P-U-A-O?
P-U-A-O. Puao.
Puao?
Puao.
Yeah, to keep the ward's two seats.
Yeah.
But they're trying to work out how they can get an act, of course, is criticising this action.
Right.
And the council is trying to see if they can get around this legally, because that's now law, where councils are supposed to have a referendum.
Yeah, they can either drop it or they can have a referendum.
Yeah, they can either just get rid of the Maori seats or Maori wards.
Yeah.
I mean, the dick's stacked against them anyway.
Well,
if it goes to a so-called one person, one vote.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So. Oh, here we go. We have to go back to the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The final results show that she received 806 votes, well ahead of the 422.
Is this Maria Huata
Maria Huata, yeah. Well ahead of the 422 for her nearest rival, Horiana Henderson. A total of 1,704 votes were cast. I'm part of that. The final percentage of eligible voters was just 11.34, not 11.4, as I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, 11%.
Well, see, local government New Zealand said that told RNZ that Māori wards allow Māori to be part of decision-making and have representation on local councils.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it.
Yeah. Partnership, they say.
Yeah. Yeah, and they say they want it, and then you've got an opportunity to... show, yes, we do want it, and that's the response.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've had some, what was his name, who used to stand for council and never got in. We've talked about him before. He's passed away now. Matthew, he was a
Matthew Dixon.
Matthew Dixon. Yeah, mm-hmm. Perfectly upstanding guy, good stood man. And all that. Yeah. But, you know, unfortunately, why didn't he get voted in? He'd been had a job, he you know, was well known, mm. Et cetera. Still couldn't get past the race card,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah, and that's the sad thing about it.
Yeah, and that's hence why Māori have said for ages, why can't we have some representation?
Well, they've got an opportunity here and they're letting it slip.
They certainly let it slip at 11% turnout. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I also point the finger at we've got an Māori MP, Te Pati Māori MP, that mm-hmm. covers Hamilton's part of her electorate.
Yeah. Right.
And I've not heard any sounds out of that person in regard to this matter.
Yeah, well, whether she's... Yeah, I haven't either, actually. But I haven't been sort of...
What's the name of this person?
Oh, you know, what's the young girl's name?
Yeah, well, I forget it.
But she's not said in... She's not
Hannah Rafferty...
Hannah's the first
name. Hannah Rafferty, that's a double banger.
She's made no comment about the lack
well,
of...
Well, we don't know. She might have in the Māori circles.
Yeah, but yeah...
Not in the broad...
You would think in the broad sense she would have, eh?
Well, mm. I just thought it was that important. It would have been a real... Te Pāti Māori and iwi, etc., needed to be out there trying to get the people to vote. Yeah. Just to prove to the Pākehā world, to the ones who don't want Māori wards, just to prove to them, actually, that we're interested in this.
Yeah.
By not voting, mm-hmm. you've basically said to them, yeah.
You've handed it back to them.
Yeah, you hand the mana back to them.
Yeah. I forget the part. She's got a double banger name as well. So.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, but I just remember it's... Hannah Rafferty and something.
And when you think of a bigger political stage, next election, I don't think you'll get the Labor Party standing up and say we're going to reintroduce Māori wards. They'll stay away from it.
Yeah,
well, that's a danger.
After the hiding they got last year,
yeah, that's a danger, isn't it?
Yeah, they'll go, nah, this isn't a vote catcher here. We'll just, you know, they'll leave it to the Party Māori and the Greens, but they don't think they'll go down there.
But yeah, that rabbit hole, they say.
Yeah. Mm.
And the other thing I caught my eye was Labour MP publishes video asking PM how many kids did he kill. This was Labour MP Duncan Webb.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, but I've come across this word before. It's resiling, R-E-S-I-L-I-N-G, resiling from publishing. I'm not sure what that word is, means.
You
but anyway, he's painting on
it.
Yeah, but I haven't come across this one before.
Okay.
Anyway, his Instagram video posted by Webb on Friday show, protesters in Christchurch holding flags and signs, some reading boycott Israel, Gaza is the Palestine, the Holocaust. And one clip shows the people shouting out how many kids have you killed today?
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bit of a...
But that's a bit of a push.
Yeah. But he's just saying that when he goes further on to say that the Web addresses the process calling for an end to demonisation of Palestinians and the racism that underpins this entire conflict. Stop the apartheid, the fundamentally racist premise that is the state of Israel that divides the state on racist lines. So, good for standing up in Parliament too.
And he's always been a strong supporter. Duncan Webb, I've met him a few times.
Oh, yeah.
It's an
unfortunate photograph of him.
Yeah,
looks like he's yawning.
But he's been pushing, he's always stood up for the Palestinian people for a long time.
Well, good on him for...
And the issue, because let's face it, the issue isn't just the Palestinian people, it's the issue is Israel and the fact that they promote themselves as democracy and half their population, who happen to be Palestinians, or Arabs as they call them, aren't allowed to vote.
Yeah.
Apart from a few Israeli Arabs, you know. And they're not allowed to be called Israeli Palestinians, they're Israeli Arabs.
Yeah.
Because...
They make that distinction, though.
Yeah. So, you know.
I wonder if that's a spelling mistake. I'll just find out.
I've never come across it before. But I think you've refused to take the clip down or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting word, though.
See if it comes up in the thesaurus.
The thesaurus.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, just you keep on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so another thing we. Oh, sorry.
How about we stick on that and go to Nagasaki, because that's
79 years.
79 years.
Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Yeah.
I see that the Americans have had their nose put out of joint and have boycotted Nagasaki because the mayor of Nagasaki asked the Israeli ambassador not to attend because he wanted to maintain calm in the streets because he knew that there'd be demonstrations.
Yeah.
So lots of, including our country as well, Australia and other Western powers, all kowtowed to America's stance and boycotted it.
You laugh at this because I was thinking, oh, well, good. You know, initially it just said America and its sycophant allies, UK and Australia's in there, of course, and I think Canada and whatever. And I thought, oh, good, New Zealand's still going. But no. Apparently we're too busy
to
attend.
You jumped in there too quickly.
And there's a wonderful article, folks, and if you get a chance, read it. Go to Scoop and go, yesterday, it was on Fridays, and it was by Eugene Doyle. And it was an opinion piece. And the heading is, Team Genocide Walks Out of Commemorations for Nagasaki.
Yeah.
And it goes on about, you know, the fact that we've joined the club.
Yeah.
On that. And it doesn't talk too much about New Zealand, but just the pity that here is Nagasaki is about the terrible thing of war and destruction and the death of civilians, etc. And that we've joined the club instead of going, we're still going. No, we've bowed to.
But I see that some survivors of Nagasaki and Hiroshima have said, no, we didn't want them. Israelis said.
Well, we've got to remember that we had leading Israeli officials calling for, and some Americans
calling for
nuking Gaza.
Limited nuclear war.
Yeah, you know.
Benny Morris comes to mind.
Yeah.
On Head to Head on Al Jazeera.
He's
advocating a limited nuclear war. What?
Yeah, and it was sort of some of the fringe Israeli people, but they're still in their government, etc. Yeah. So I just thought, excellent article. Go to Scoop and read up. Team Genocide walks out, and I thought Team Genocide is just how you'd basically describe the West, really. They're still sticking together in their clique.
All ex-empire.
Yeah. You know, what have we all got in common? Colonisation.
We're
colonialists. And genocidal practices, most of them, are against the indigenous populations, you know.
Team Genocide, good word.
Yeah, Team Genocide.
Okay, I found what resigning is. I've never heard of it too, is words that are close to it are shrinking, recoiling, rebounding, bouncing.
Mm.
Kind of that same language. So it may think, well, Labour MP Duncan Webber is not shrinking from publishing or shrinking away. Yeah.
So it's a given credit.
Oh, well, we learned something today.
A word that I've never heard of
it.
Recording and rebounding,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And continuing the theme of America, I see that Kamala Harris is now nominated a running mate. And
yes, Mr. Walz.
Tim Walz, Governor of Minnesota.
Yeah.
How would you describe him? He's left wing apart from
Palestine,
Israel. Which is surprise. So
he's in keeping with Kamala Harris because she's pro-Israel.
So you've got no gap between the Republicans and Democrats.
There's no difference at all.
On their what would you call their best friend, Israel.
Yeah.
You know, so which is disappointing because, they have difference. The Republicans and Democrats have different issues over abortion and things like that. And I'm still pleased that, okay, at least America's got some younger candidates.
Yeah.
Tim Walz is 60. Kamala Harris is similar.
Late 50s.
It's the next generation down.
Yeah.
The worry is that they still have a blind spot over Israel and it's going to be apartheid.
Business. I think it's going to be business as usual.
On that side of it. Yeah. On the foreign affairs, I think definitely. But they'll change. They may change a few things in America, but don't get your hopes up. I would like to see Jill Stein from the Green Party over there, who's an independent activist, and also an activist for trying to fix Palestine-Israel issues, etc. It would be nice if they'd have even a debate. But there won't be a debate between the minor parties. They'll stick with Trump and they'll stick with Harrison, and that's all you'll see.
And a debate between the VP candidates as well.
So we are seeing in America a change of generations.
Yeah,
you
know, it's a long time coming, eh?
It's a long time coming. And I think Trump will get a hiding now. I honestly think that, although she's got her faults, and I don't like her stance.
I've listened to some of her rhetoric.
But she's
very slick. She's very good at...
Far more capable than Trump.
And they're already huge
crowds.
Even the running mate was quite good too.
Yeah.
He did his own way, but he's still got the crowd.
Quite involved.
It seems to be more about personalities than policies.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Trump, if the polls keep going bad, because what's
happened,
Biden sort of the polls were quite even and Trump slightly in front. Now that Biden has gone, even doesn't apparently doesn't realise he's gone, but that's another story. That you know, the polls now are way in favour of her, but she's credible. Even though we, you know, let's face it, you don't have to like someone's policies or anything else, but she's more aware, etc. Trump's just narcissistic, and it's tiring. He's not offering anything
new. He's not offering anything new.
No, so I think she'll...
And
he made
a bad choice with, was it J.D. Vance?
He's alienated all the women in America.
He was trying to turn it around and say, well, weird's a badge of honour, because I think Walsh has been saying that both Trump and Vance are just weird.
So anyway, it means...
You think that Trump might back off?
I wouldn't be surprised, because Trump doesn't like to lose, and he's already lost once, and he called that cheating, etc.
Vance become the Republican presidential candidate.
Well, if the polls stay bad, it wouldn't surprise me if Trump, rather than face the loss,
figures out a way of saying his wound
from his assassination.
He's still wearing that damn bandage, isn't he?
Very lucky guy. But it wouldn't surprise me. You heard it here first on Free Left Turn that Trump will, if the polls stay bad for him,
he might back off.
He might do a runner.
He might scuttle.
He might do a scuttle. Who else scuttles that?
Oh, Luxon.
So
lower life forms.
And of course, everyone goes about Trump being a Republican. He's not a natural Republican. He's a natural narcissist. He's a natural for himself.
He's hijacked
the Republican.
I don't think Trump has any loyalty to the Republican Party.
He doesn't have loyalty to anyone.
Apart from himself.
He's number one, no matter what's going on.
Yeah, so watch the space. But he might stick in. But I say, if the polls stay bad for him, anything could happen, I don't think he's got anything to fight it with, basically.
You mean there might become a time where we won't hear the name Trump on the news?
It might be a footnote to history.
Epitaph.
Might be, what that'll mean is that America will have its first woman president, potentially. And they call her black, but she's very much I think she's Indian. She's got
Indian-Jamaican.
She's a mixture.
Yeah, and that's fine. But in the end of the day, she lives in a perfectly upper-class world. And
she lives in Smugsville.
Lives from Smugsville. But she's capable, and she's a different generation.
Yeah, well, I hope there is some substance behind her rhetoric about bringing people up.
And I just hope...
And she even used the word collective.
Yeah, and let's just hope she has a little bit more open-mindedness on the Palestinian situation.
You mentioned the word blind spot on that one, Fred, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm not hopeful, but
because
you never
know. Because that'd be a vote loser for her if she's too ardent in...
Maybe once she's in, once you are elected,
you might be able to play around.
Because she has said some words saying it's awful, but then when push comes to shove, she then backs the Israeli corner. But it will be interesting to see, because it's not popular. America is still very much with Israel in the higher circles and in the population, but it's no longer the 95% sort of Israel can do it's changing.
Because they had all those protests in the universities.
And they've been squashed, let's face it. They've been crushed, basically. Yeah. You're a student or whatever.
Land of the free and right to demonstrate.
Yeah, but you've been crushed if you meant. You can demonstrate about anything else in the world.
But not Israel.
But the word Israel doesn't gel. Which is a bit sad. So it really is. You go back to... the United States of Israel.
Well, it certainly made this presidential run a bit more interesting.
Yeah. On the Yanks, before we move on to something else, is this shows you how much influence and wealth and has. Mm-hmm. Cori Bush, she was in the Missouri, who's going to be the candidate for the Democrats for Congress. Between themselves.
Yeah.
And there was this guy called Wesley Bell, and he was, a prosecutor and all that, and quite a capable guy.
Mm.
But, of course, Corey Bush has been quite outspoken, a member of the squad, et cetera, and she's been quite outspoken about the atrocities that Israel's perpetuating on the Palestinians, et cetera. And, of course, the AIPAC, which is the American Israel lobby group, et cetera, they've put $8.5 million into backing Wesley Bell to push her out. And some other what you'd call Jewish, Israeli American, Israeli Jewish influences who are on the Israeli side, they outspent Cori Bush's campaign by 4-1.
Yeah,
money talks in America.
Yeah, it does.
So she's out and Mr. Bell's in. So that's one less voice in Congress for, because he's quite left wing. Apart but from
that,
the word went. Americans don't like mentioning Israel. Yeah, so, you know. So, anyway, so that I thought that's sad because she was quite, she had some weak points and all that. And the thing is, all politicians, all human beings have weak points. But, of course, if there's money against you, they can spend the money highlighting those weak points.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And then people who even, she got quite close. She only lost by 5,000 votes or whatever.
She can't possibly win, then they... decided.
Yeah, and then they point out that you've got the money to point out her weak points or things she's done wrong. And, of course, if you've got the money magnify that?
Spin it.
Yeah, to spin it. So, anyway, she's gone. Yeah.
Replaced with somebody else. He may have other weak points.
Well, he will. But, of course, as long as in America, we saw in America, how many times do they do standing ovations for Netanyahu? 58, I think, in an hour. It just shows you who controls the narrative in America or in the United States of Israel, we may as well call it, for all intents and purposes.
Right, what are we doing for time?
Well, we're doing plenty of time.
Of course, this week the Waikato Times has been running a campaign about fly tipping. I think it's all this week and maybe last week as well. And I see that Sarah Thompson, the city council, suggesting a change to maybe give people the opportunity to buy a larger garbage bin, same size as the present recycling bin, to try and cope with the volume. But, of course, how are you going to finance it? And one suggestion is that perhaps people might be offered the opportunity to buy a bin.
Mm.
Because, you and I were walking around yesterday on Wairee Drive near Naylor and Cambridge, and there were some volunteers picking up the garbage. Walking down along the gardens, and I've stopped and said, well, good on you for guys for doing this.
Yeah, they were senior citizens like you and I.
Yeah, and I don't know how, they must have been part of a group, but they were just doing that particular area. But sometimes the amount of garbage they're picking up is phenomenal.
Yeah, and there's lots on this, but we were talking about before we came
but
on there.
But they only realised by anecdotal feedback that the garbage bin's too small.
Yeah,
they've only just realised that.
Yeah,
it's a shame they weren't both the same size.
Well, no, I
know they were trying to encourage people to recycle.
Well, that was the point.
It wasn't going to work because some people don't. Yeah, they fill up their garbage in 2-3 days.
Well, and also don't forget, we've also got inequality. So we've also got large amounts of people having to share houses, etc.
Yeah.
So
large volumes of rubbish.
Well, I live on my own now, so
your bin is dropped
more than enough. Apart from my notice, my children occasionally have a bag for me, so it gets filled up because they can't cope with their bin size. But that's how it should be.
Yeah. Yeah,
if people actually were in a community, what happens if you've got an extra bag or whatever
or room?
If you get on with your neighbour or whatever, you say, is it all right if I go and put my bag of rubbish in yours, please?
Collectivism.
Do we mention that out loud? You know, and I do with my neighbour. If he's got too many bottles or whatever, he just comes and puts them. I say, just chuck them in my bin.
Yeah. The council is saying that less illegal dumping is coming down from 13.3 tonnes per month. That was in September 2020. To June 30th of 21, and it's now dropped to 9.66. But some areas, I think it's 5 Crossroads. That's notorious.
Yeah, that's notorious, particularly around there.
Around the back of the shops.
The second-hand stuff.
I give a lot of credit to Sarah Thompson for bringing it up.
Yeah.
You know, because, let's face it, we love having the Hamilton Gardens and skiting about, all this.
Yeah.
But actually, it's things like rubbish, toilet, cleanliness of toilets.
If you want people to come to the city, they don't want to see a city full of
garbage. Friendly people. Yeah. That's right. And can I this is awful, and I don't know if I should mention it or not, but I will, because I was coming back from Owensville Road after going out to Newstead.
Yep.
And I came back, and there's a welcome, big welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to Hamilton.
Monolith. Welcome to Hamilton.
Yeah.
And it's got even the word beautiful Hamilton or something scattered all around it.
Garbage.
Rubbish.
And an old couch, and then just scattered individual rubbish. And, you know, I would have, I normally would stop, but I didn't have anything to pick it up with, and it was a lot. It was like, this is just half a rubbish
bag. You would need a
volunteer
group to pick it up.
I need a trailer. Yeah. But I just thought, here we have got this sign, welcome.
To Hamilton.
And just show you. And that's not, okay, the council needs to pick it up on our behalf, but this is people doing this.
Yeah.
This is individual people.
This comes at the same time as the council now retrenching. They're trying to save money, so garbage bins aren't being emptied as often as they should be. And you go through Hamilton East, all those bins are full of coffee cups.
Yeah.
You know, and food wrappers that spill over from businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, we talked about it before, that it's good to know that we think that the trucks can pick up a small bin in it. The same truck can pick up. Doesn't worry about what size bin it is.
The arms adjustable.
Yeah.
So that means if we allowed people to buy a bigger bin with a red lid, the same colour as a rubbish bin,
it wouldn't worry the truck much.
And a lot of people don't need to. There'd be a lot of people, couples, and that are fine.
Well, our place we don't. But there might be just a bin, and that'll last us for 2 weeks before it's full again, because we've dropped the consumption
and there
of
are,
crap.
And there are people, as I say, if you've got 12 people living in your house,
well, you're going to generate a lot of
rubbish. Yeah.
You know? You've got
young kiddies and nappies and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, and aren't we better to facilitate for it? Because if it's rubbish, and rubbish is already made, if it doesn't go in the bin, where else does it go?
Well, she made a comment too, and I've made a comment too, that people can't afford to take their refuge to the
refuge centre.
Can't afford it.
Well, I live in Hillcrest.
They would like to deal with it responsibly, but they don't have the money. If you're on a benefit, you can't afford.
Well, if you don't have a car, you can't afford. The other side of town is 20 minutes, half an hour away.
So it's gasoline, a car,
and the money. The monolith with the Welcome to Hamilton sign is just out of town from where I live.
And it's got rubbish. Yeah.
And it's got rubbish.
But it seems to be getting worse. Although they say in the article that it's come down
since 2020,
yeah. Yeah, but it just seems like I'm walking around and think it's more crap on the gutters. It's, you know.
I like what Sarah said and about that fact that, okay, it might not be our rubbish or anything else, but the trouble is if you leave it there, it encourages others
to throw their rubbish there.
Yeah. And I used to be years ago in Keep Hamilton Beautiful, which we used to go around and pick up rubbish and all that. So, but it's good to see that there's some more awareness going on because it does spoil the city.
Yeah. Well, I can give you a stark contrast. When I first came to New Zealand in 1974, I'm walking through Auckland, there was no garbage in the gutters.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
Not even cigarette butts.
Yeah.
And I left London, which was notorious. And I couldn't get over it. This is spick and span. You could almost eat your meal off the pavement. It was that clean.
Yeah.
So something's happened. A culture's crept in where they don't care or hard.
And also packaging mix.
Packaging is about,
You know, well, how many takeaway bars did you see in 1974? You'd have seen a chippy?
There wasn't the same number of outlets.
Eateries,
That too. Growing population.
Yeah.
Food outlets.
Yeah. So there are increase in the population.
Commercialisation.
Commercial and sort of cultural shift in I don't give a damn. And
neoliberalism.
Yeah, because we used to basically, I think the average was we'd eat at home 6 days a week. Now it's down to about 3 days something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that means, okay, it's not just restaurants, it's takeaway bars,
fast food, whatever.
Blah, 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 you know. Mm. But I do have some sympathy. If you've got a park or if you've got somewhere where you're asking people, not asking people, but people come and hang around or whatever, you need rubbish bins and they need to be serviced.
748.
And there's the other problem is, of course, because people haven't got enough room for their own bin, I see people coming carrying their bags from their houses down and putting them beside the bus stop.
Frequently there's an extra bag sitting there.
Frequently. And okay, at least they're doing it rather than dumping it
Yeah,
by the monolith, yeah. You know?
Then they'll take the bin away because of that problem.
That moves it somewhere else. Well, that's what they've done in Auckland.
It's counterproductive.
Yeah, they've reduced the bins in Auckland and somewhere in Auckland.
And about the flight, it must have increased.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just chop it off. Oh, we just got the white tackeries and throw it in the bush.
Biggest
belief, eh?
Those sort of things, it's like vandalism and everything else. It's all very well saying, the council, it's not our problem or whatever, but what happens in society?
Our problem.
The council ends up picking up
which we all pay for.
Whether you're a so-called ratepayer or the renter pays the rates.
We all pay for it.
You know, but it makes you...
People take greater pride in their, but obviously
town pride, city pride.
And then I'd say the back of Hillcrest there's a nice grove of big kahikatea trees behind the library, and in there, some people or someone has decided to make a big clearance, and they've just chopped down quite big native trees and all that, and it's a huge expense, and then they've broken the Go Echo rat traps, and it's just sheer vandalism. And the same with the public toilets, if they get vandalised.
Yeah, a lot of kids in that school down the road, Masters, they have hang around those shops.
And hang around
during the course of the day. Yeah. I've seen them hanging around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're bored
These are senior students, obviously don't have classes every single hour, so they've obviously got free time, whatever we used to call it, and they're hanging around the back of the library.
The key is how do you get them back invested in their community, so they think, well, this is mine rather than...
Well, ours. This is ours. We should be...
Encouraging that,
Encouraging it.
But they don't see it like that.
But it's just phenomenal amount of garbage, eh? It's unbelievable.
The uncaring. But okay, the bottom line is that's where we as a society need to go. Okay, how do we improve that area? It means investment of employing someone.
Time and money.
And having not necessarily a contract that comes in once a month or once every 6 months. Mm. You need probably a guy called Benny to come in, and that's his job, looking after that area and those streets and all that. We used to have it in the main street in town. People used to go and pick up
And they've tried to cut back on staff numbers, and they usually cut back on the people on the coalface.
Where you get the problems.
Yeah, they get rid of 10 people on the coalface to keep one manager in the job.
Yeah.
It exacerbates the issue.
Yeah. So, let's face it, you know, there's always going to be some kids growing up, etc. But we have to always make an effort rather than look the other way. And schools do too. It's not just the fact of these kids. If they're coming out of the local high school or whatever else and hanging around, it's not just, we only look after them while they're in school. They've got a school uniform on or anything else, and they're doing it. That's your responsibility, and the school needs to lead by example, and things like that.
So
it's a work in progress, but it's good that it's now highlighted, because it does cost rubbish, social vandalism, etc. All costs, and it might say, the council has to pay for it. Hello, the council gets its... Where does the council need to get its money from?
The ratepayer.
Yeah, they don't seem to make that connection.
No.
They grizzle because the rates go up.
And council needs to make the connection of what happens in social policy and government.
Yeah.
And for all of us, housing, the standard of living, all affects that,
That feeds into that sort of... Yeah, we know what we all want. Yeah.
Oh, another one caught me. I was... New plan for water reforms put to councils. This is... National's answer to
water. Is that the slow road to privatisation?
Well, it does leave you wondering, Council's got little more than 12 months to produce plans to amalgamate their water services as the government reveals how reforms will be funded. They're claiming that Labor's answer, the free water, was too expensive, and this is going to be much cheaper.
How I understand it, if you were a council... If you have significant water infrastructure problems that need to be replaced, and you borrow money against that body, and say if you come to paying it back and you can't, what happens then?
Well, exactly.
Well, apparently you can borrow the money for the life of the asset.
Rates...
The Labor's saying that the water reform package will be... claiming that the water package would be cheaper than taxpayers and ratepayers, and then its model, the Labor one, which would have created 10 public water entities The party's local government spokesman, Kieran McNulty, said the government's plan would be pushing debt onto council. The national government is absolving itself from any responsibility and putting it all on councils, who may have to borrow, as you've just suggested. And what's going to happen? Rates will go up.
Yeah.
And then if you're a ratepayer saying, well, you'll blame the council, but you won't blame... Simeon Brown.
Well, he keeps telling council, get on board with these changes quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've thought it through properly. And this is all... They're putting their plan through rather than putting the...
Well, it's quite... I've read a thing today and they said it's reasonably similar to Three Waters, apart from one big thing missing. Guess what?
Oh, Melbourne!
You're not saying it out loud. Too late for the beeper.
You're using the M-word.
The M-word, yes.
That basically is, the whole thing was to take away the...
Maori
participation.
Yeah.
And so
we're going to pay for this.
Well, future ratepayers,
I suspect.
It's going to
come at our cost.
And I'm a bit nervous because what I liked about Three Waters was the holistic.
Yeah.
The fact that Māori had a say, etc. And what we did with our water here in Hamilton, for the people in Huntly, would think about them. And the people in Auckland.
This doesn't.
Well, we don't know, but that's what I liked about Three Waters. It was a holistic approach that the people in Hastings, if they had poor water, I up here in Hamilton didn't live there, but I would help them fix their problem. And vice versa, there's something wrong, which is old-fashioned socialism and collective caring.
This is trying to palm off the cost of future water infrastructure onto councils.
Well, then they can go into empires or can go into privatisation.
That's the worry I really worry about with those, what they call them, council CCOs?
And we saw them. We were talking about the water meters the other day. That's a slippery slope.
We've seen the mess in the UK.
Because whose loyalty do the water companies pay? It's just their shareholders, not the customers.
This is where this is heading.
It's dangerous slope, right?
Yeah. So, I just thought, okay, they've done it and thing, but they've spent all this month to drop it.
Yeah.
And really all they've dropped is the Māori word.
Yeah. That's basically what they've done, eh?
And that's disappointing. You know,
and that will come at a cost.
Well. Because let's face it, if we go into privatisation or anything else, Māori, and I don't blame the Māori world at all, at present we get access to rivers and all that. In the treaty, we never actually, and I don't think they did it deliberately, but the Crown, et cetera, whatever, they forgot, they didn't mention rivers and that, so technically the Māori still own them.
Yeah.
And they let us have the water sources, et cetera, for free. If we're going to start privatising, why can't they? Here we go, well, actually, that's our river. We want something for it.
There could be some court cases coming up as a result of this.
Well, that's what it can lead down to.
They will be the ones, like the working port, who will mess out on water because they can't afford to pay for water.
Or be a low quality water.
Or we have to go down the street to a communal tap.
Yeah, like the old UK in London where the toffs all got their water in a pipe and the poor had to go and get the one from the common tap that was beside the sewage pipe.
Inferior.
Okay. It may be tainted with lead.
Yeah.
Like over at Togomara Bay.
I'm not sure about this one. Watch the rhetoric, Luxon tells MPs. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon says he's reached out to ACT Minister Carrie-Ann Chow, who tearfully told media last week she felt bullied in the House as tensions between parties and MPs ratcheted up. She's been under increasing pressure in the House to answer over controversial policies, including the boot camps. I noticed there was another article I didn't bring with it. There's no New Zealand Defence Force involved in those boot camps. Directly with those youngsters.
Okay. Yeah.
But, yes.
I watched the news on the conference and Luxeter was saying the same thing, I think, reaching out to ACT, supported by the news reporter, Benedict Collins, and so on and so on.
He's been a bit mean, saying, look, parliamentarians need to watch the rhetoric and that civility in our politics is really important. I believe that. I don't believe it, yeah.
I remember the...
she complained about being described as a puppet.
Just an idiot.
Pathetic sort of, that sort of stuff. They're like, these are like grown-up kindergartens.
Yeah, I recall when Pota Williams was the Minister for Police and the attacks that she suffered in Parliament.
Well, a lot more than that.
Yeah, led by that fool who's now the current police minister.
Mitchell.
Yeah, and lo and behold, part of that attack was...
This is Braveheart you're talking about.
Braveheart?
Mr. Mitchell.
No, he wants to go to Kaikoura. I haven't kept up with the non-convention.
He wants to go into Kaikoura and take their patch off them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Off you go.
So, also part of an attack group was Benedict Collins over police response times.
Yeah.
But the minister had already talked about it. It had already been discussed, and he just went on and on about it.
Yeah, but the government's going to engage in cuts in the police budget.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're still expecting to do even more.
Yeah, and heavy, get heavy handed against those who do smash and grab stuff.
Yeah.
And I was interested to see on the news again the figures for smash and grab over the last 22, 23, 24.
Are they coming down?
No, they've gone up.
Have gone up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
What does old Mitchell have to say about that?
What
did you say?
The police haven't got the resources.
Well, it goes back to the society.
And the police have been expected to do more with less.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
but you're trying to police the poor and the disadvantaged,
and
without actually looking at the root causes.
Charles
made a rod for her own back anyway over the 7AA part of the Rangatama Riki Act, and she accused certain agencies of using the money they get from Rangatama Riki as cash cows.
No one's figured that out.
Yeah, but then somebody with a fair mind indicated that, well, these agencies would get money from other sources as well and would have the money earmarked for whatever they were supposed to do with it.
But she's trying to make out they were just living a life of Riley and spend it up on blatant.
If she expects to be make those comments, she expects to get responses like that.
Yeah. Being called a puppet is pretty mild in the scheme of things, there's worse
things
you could be called.
And they shouldn't be called that. No. You know, name calling doesn't...
It's childish. Parliament always strikes me as a bit like an adult creche with unruly children.
Yeah, well, they're the people like Luxative and people like that who are making these noises are the same people who indulge in that behaviour when they're in opposition.
And
they just fed into that narrative of their racist supporters out there sending nasty messages to certain MPs.
Yeah,
yeah. Hey, on that, do you think McNulty's been in the McNulty? what's his first name?
Kieran.
Do you think he's the future Labour leader coming up?
Don't really know.
No, I don't see it myself.
Okay, yeah, no. I just wondered. He's been certainly getting some airtime.
Is Chris Hipkins sort of thinking?
Well, you haven't seen him. Chris Hipkins is. You don't hear as much of him.
Yeah, little sound bites.
But that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah, not sure.
Yeah, there's other people who've been making more noises.
Who else has Labour got that stands out? I'd be struggling really.
Yeah, there's only been certain MPs that have been making from the opposition, from Labour, that have been making noises.
Yeah.
McNulty's one.
Mm.
Yeah. Webb's another.
Yeah.
Willie Jackson over the whole Maori funding stuff.
I just wondered, maybe there's... Because we haven't heard a lot from Christopher Hipkins, and maybe that's just the media, of course. We don't know how much, you know.
Yeah.
Just because we don't hear from someone
doesn't mean
they aren't doing it. It's just it hasn't hit the... At the media sources that we look at.
We have to put up with nonsense like this.
Mr. Luxon.
Mm. Yeah, and even the the private philanthropic group, Kids Can, are feeding the pinch as well.
They had a huge ad in the Herald. Mick brought it to my attention.
Night in School, which is just down the road from us, they get food to the value of $16,000 a year from the local supermarket on Four Square on Clyde Street.
Yeah.
Okay. They've been donating something like 216 meals per week.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So good on Four Square for doing that.
Yeah, but
the government's relying on philanthropy to fill the stopgaps in the system.
Which goes back to
fickle.
It's fickle. It's fickle.
Yeah, but kids can seem to have well-heeled.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
I thought it was a pretty well-established charity, but it seems that they're coming under.
Well, they had a
straits.
Full-page ad on the Herald, the front.
Yes, right in the front of it. Yeah, the cover.
And that's you brought it to my attention, and that's expensive. So unless they got the ad for free from the Herald, which they
maybe claim it.
But I go back to what you said. But it's personal charity. Is fickle.
Yeah.
It's like me. If I have a good week, I'm quite generous to the food bank at the supermarket, etc. But if I'm having a bit of, I've got that bill to pay and that bill, my pockets aren't, I give a bugger all,
Well, the government's cut the funding on these free school meals, but as you said earlier on, they're quite happy to subsidise the meals on offer in the in the New Zealand house in Paris.
In Paris for the elite.
But this was smugs.
For the elite.
I just think, okay, credit to the charities. And they're trying to best whatever.
But they must be coming under an awful lot of pressure.
But let's face it.
Fund him.
I believe all that sort of thing is in that government. We the people should be, this should be our issue.
It should be as a government. State. Yeah.
Yeah. They might be getting old fashioned, but personal charity is fickle.
Yeah.
You know, And then it's also, you can get cultish type of things in there. Yeah, you can have this, but you have to stand on one foot and sing a song to this emperor.
Yeah.
A political agenda.
Yeah. That's what worries me.
That's like the
what happened in the 19th century, all the Christian charities feeding the poor.
Yeah.
But they were expected, not to drink, and then turn up at church every...
And you see
it came at a price.
Well, you see the indoctrination in Israel. You see it. You see it.
Yes, we'll help you, but you're going to have to become a Christian.
Yeah, we'll give you free land, but you have to hate them.
Yeah.
You know,
why
have to have a go.
You get into that dark stuff, though.
Oh, it's horrible.
The Jimmy Savile type stuff.
Mm. But good on Foursquare for a stupid amount of food, 216 meals a week.
So, yeah.
I'm sure other supermarkets are also...
Maybe as they are more, what you call it.
I think it came into notes because there was an article about night in school struggling and so many kids are turning up with unsuitable gear for the winter.
And
then it sort of fed on to what Foursquare were doing.
Yeah, yeah, Margaret watched she had more of a close eye than what I did, but talking about people stitching their shoes together and all sorts of stuff.
Quality of shoes.
He described kids with shoes that are held together by duct tape
that's the sort of thing that you're talking about. Clothing,
clothing for summer is not suitable for winter.
I see
cold and wet all day long, and
I've seen a lot of that. Children walking to school in shirts, they get wet in winter time.
Well, and the parents often are out working or whatever else too. So they might be both working, but there's still time. They pay the landlord and everything else.
Might be working.
Money's not spare.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got something a little bit information. How many minutes have we got?
Three.
Okay.
Two.
Go back to Paris. I'm a bit of a. And have you been to Paris, Mick? You're well travelled?
On a school trip, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, Mick, you been, Craig?
No.
Parisians are renowned for being arrogant.
Yeah, okay.
They don't like other French people.
Okay.
they're really arrogant.
This is about the Seine, the river. That we're trying to clean up for the Olympics.
The Seine or the Seine? The
Seine of the photos.
How do you pronounce it? Seine. Seine, sorry.
Look insane.
Pardon.
See the little Richard looking down the water.
Yeah, well, and this is about the little Richards floating down the river. And, of course, they've been making a huge effort to clean it up.
Yeah.
And part of their effort was they built this huge big storage tank for stormwater. And the idea is the water goes in there and then they let it out slowly so they control the cleanliness of the river. That was one of their big pushes. But they've said the bottom line is, although they and they have made a lot of effort to keep it clean, they're still very vulnerable to rain.
Richards.
And, of course, when it rains, the rainwater gets mixed up into the poo water and then the river, ends up in the river. Hence the little Richards. And hence some days they've been able to swim in the Seine and some days they haven't. Because it goes back to that E. coli level.
I still wouldn't want to take a chance, though.
Yeah, you could get an infection of some sort.
It might be cleaner on one day than it was another day, but
yeah,
this meant the per million particles of water, you know.
But what's fair is they've had the Olympics to clean it up. Why don't they just clean it up anyway?
Well, yes, I've said this before. They found the money for the Olympics, but they didn't find a clean it up before.
Yeah, 15 years
ago. And how long did they know that they were going to host those games?
Yeah, and hence the UK, the same.
And they said they were going to spend 1.5 million euros to clean up.
Yeah.
On that note, on that third note, we're out of here.
See you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.